Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. When Sri Chaitanya, after accepting the renounced order of life, went to Jagannath Puri and then came back to the village of Kuliya, upon his return, that sinful man took shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord, being merciful to him, gave him instructions for his benefit. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his Anubhashya, has given the following note in connection with the village Kuliya. The village, originally known as Kuliya, has developed into what is now the city of Navadvipa. In various authorized books like Bhakti Ratnakar, Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, and Chaitanya Bhagavata, it is mentioned that the village Kuliya is on the western side of the Ganges. Even now, within the area known as Koladvipa, there is a place known as Kuliyar Ganj and a place called Kuliyar Daha, both within the jurisdiction of the present municipality of Navadvipa. In the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were two villages named Kuliya and Pahadpur on the western side of the Ganges, both belonging to the jurisdiction of Bahirdweep. At that time, the place on the eastern side of the Ganges, now known as Antardweep, was known as Navadweep. At Sri Mayapur, that place is still known as Dweeparamot. There is another place of the name Kuliya near Kanchadapada, but it is not the same Kuliya mentioned here. It cannot be accepted as Aparadha Bhanjera Pat, the place where the offense was excused, for that occurred in the above mentioned Kuliya on the western side of the Ganges. For business reasons, many envious persons oppose excavation of the real place, and sometimes they advertise unauthorized places as the authorized one. Om Atnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminati Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading from Adilila chapter 17. And I think this is the last chapter of the Adilila before we go into Madhya Lila. And the current discussion going on is about Mahaprabhu coming back to Kuliya, and in Kuliya's meeting Gopala Chapal. Gopal Chapal was a Brahmana who fell off from his position and contracted leprosy in 3 days after having offended Srivas Thakur. So already since, I think, 2 weeks or more, when Kripamaya Prabhu was giving class, since then we've been discussing about Gopal Chapal. And yesterday Govind Prabhu also spoke very wonderfully. I will continue with that discussion. And actually there are many other verses, following verses, which will also speak about Gopal Chapal and his punishment. But in keeping with the purport, you see that Srila Prabhupada is focusing on the purport, mainly repeating what Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said in his Anubhashya. And what Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has focused on is the identification of the real Kuliya Gram. So we see that there are many places in, you know, in Vraj, in Navadvip, if we visit, Gokul is a good example. There is a old Gokul and new Gokul. If you go to Vraj, they will take you depending on who you are, what sampradaya you belong to, or, you know, where you come from. They may take you to the new Gokul or the old Gokul, they say. And both claim to have the original birthplace of, or rather, the place where Nanda Maharaj was staying, Nanda Bhavan. So many such things are there. So how do we determine what is the real place? And we see here, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is establishing what is real Kuliagram. And the last sentence is quite interesting. Srila Prabhupada says, for business reasons, many envious persons oppose excavation of the real place. And sometimes they advertise unauthorized places as the authorized one. So there are many, many places where many pastimes are claimed to have happened, and different people like to, in the Dham, like to emphasize that those are the places which are worshipable. However, what we follow is the Acharyas, is the Guru Parampara. And by Prabhupada saying that there are many persons in the Dham who are unscrupulous and who are unauthorized, but claiming the places are authorized, he's not offending the Dhamavasis. And I was just wondering if I could find any pramana, any evidence in the scripture. And in the Bhagavat Mahatmya, Padma Purana, it says very succinctly, Ashrama yavanai ruddhas tirthani saritastatha devata yatanani atra dushtair nashtani bhurishah. It says very clearly, Ashrama yavanani ruddhai. In this Kali Yuga, big, big ashramas will be there in Dham, but they will be maintained by the most unscrupulous men. Tirthani saritas tatha. The tirthas and the saritas, the holy ponds, if you go to Radhakund, Shyamkund, so many other holy spots, there are people who, in fact I came across one panda who said in Radhakund that Radhakund belongs to my ancestors, my forefathers. This kund is mine. I said, yes, very nice. You are so fortunate. What else can we say? So, Padma Purana says, Tirthani saritas tatha. The whole tirtha, the whole, you know, all the holy places, they will claim to be theirs. Devata yatanani yatra dushtai nashtani bhurishah. In Kali Yuga, these unscrupulous people, they will destroy the places of worship. And we have seen that, and that's what Prabhupada is saying in the purport. So there is nothing that is being said there. It reminds me, I need to switch off as well. There is nothing that is being said there which is incorrect. Okay, so that's my, you know, 2 pence worth on the purport, which is the main focus is that how in Kali Yuga unauthorized people are claiming places of worship which they just cook up and say that is authorized. We'll continue with the episode of Gopala Chapal, and I would like to focus on a few things on the matters of Vaishnava Aparadha. Before I start, I feel quite unqualified to speak anything on Vaishnava Aparadha, being a Vaishnava Aparadhi myself. It's like a person who is drowning is going to speak on the ways of swimming across an ocean. It's quite unfit. And especially when, you know, the likes of Kripamai Prabhu, Govind Prabhu and so many other wonderful speakers, they have spoken already on this subject. And you have some great personalities who can speak better. Nonetheless, Sanatana Goswami says that sometimes when seniors have done the main work, they leave something out of their great mercy. They leave something for the juniors to do. So they have already served you the main course. I'm going to serve you some side dish. I'll attempt to. So this Vaishnava Apra that Gopala Chapal committed is known as a great offense, the mad elephant offense. We all know what a mad elephant can do. It can completely destroy, you know, create a huge havoc. I've actually seen a mad elephant. Yeah, I was visiting a place in Assam, and while we were driving, all the cars started to, narrow road, everyone started to go in reverse. And I was wondering why everyone is going in reverse. Now in Assam there are also terrorists, so I thought there might be a terrorist. And I asked the driver, is there any terrorist threat? Or he said, no, this is bigger than a terrorist. And then I saw a huge male tusker, huge elephant, just rampaging through. So mad elephant. In fact, this is the secret. Well, how do you put it? So the secret sauce of remaining in devotional service is to avoid the mad elephant offense. That is a secret. Kripamai Prabhu mentioned that we have not focused enough on maintaining devotees in his class. And I think one of the challenges about maintaining devotees or maintaining our devotional service is to avoid this Vaishnava Aparad. Mahaprabhu says that our creeper of bhakti is so small and tender, and we nourish it with our Shraddha, our faith, and the nine processes of devotional service. But jodi Vaishnava Aparadha uthe hati mata, if one commits Vaishnava Aparad, it is called hati mata. Mata means mad, and hati is an elephant. Mahaprabhu says, what will happen? What will this mad elephant do? Upa deva chinde tara sukhi jaya pata. Upade, he will completely uproot the creeper of devotion. Or he will break the creeper of devotion. And when this creeper of devotion has broken or been uprooted, what sustains the creeper? The leaves. Mahaprabhu says, Shukhi jaya pata, patta, the leaves will be dried. The leaves of devotional service will be dried and the creeper will slowly die. So the mad elephant offense, Vaishnava Aparad, in fact it is even greater than offending Krishna himself. Narottam Das Thakur in his Prarthana, Vaishnava Vidnapti, he says, Haristhane aparadhe tare hari nama. So if you have any aparad committed in deity worship or directly to Krishna, then Harinam can save you. Tomasthane aparadhe nahi paritran. But if you are offended, O Vaishnava, there is no means of rectifying other than taking your shelter. This is, the reason is this. Prabhupada explains in one place that if you are with a big, if there's a big man and he has a family, if the big man's child is offended, the man feels more offended. But if he is directly offended, he may forgive. But when his family is offended, he is more offended. Krishna cannot tolerate the offense to his devotees. And just at the time of this offense taking place, Gopal Chapal offending, there is a beautiful description in Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, which is composed by Murari Gupta, where he says that Mahaprabhu spoke to Srivas Thakur, and he spoke to Srivas Thakur these words. He said, Tam dvishanti mahamohat patanti naraye suchav. Anyone who offends you, O Vaishnava, will certainly go to hell. However, Mahaprabhu says, Vaishnaveshu nathayecha. But if somebody is paying obeisances to Vaishnavas, Mam dvishanti kathanchana. However, he is envious of me. He likes my devotees, but he is envious of me. Tan udharishye sarvatra. I will certainly uttarishye. I will certainly uplift them. I will certainly take them with me. Mahapataka sanchayat. From the great hellfire. Evam uktva yayavdevaha shrivasalaye shubhe. Mahaprabhu went to Srivasangan. Mahaprabhu went to Srivasangan with these words. The essence is, no matter if you have a person who is offending the deities of Krishna, however, if that person is not offending the Vaishnavas, Krishna will still take care of them. Krishna is saying, as long as my Vaishnavas, my devotees are not offended, I will take care of them. However, when my devotees are offended, I will certainly put them in hell. So what are the different aparadhas to devotees? What are the different types of aparadhas to devotees? Anyone knows what are the different aparadhas, that offenses that we can commit towards devotees? Hari Bhakti Vilas Sanatana Goswami has outlined 6 offenses. It has been repeated again in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yes. Criticizing, yes. What else? To not be happy at seeing them, yes. What else? If they are physically deformed, then judging them, yes. Their background, okay. So what you're saying is from Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives four things that instigate one to find faults in a Vaishnava. We'll cover that as well. But the 6 categories of ninda, of aparad, 6 categories of aparad are mentioned as nindam kurvanti ye mudha vaishnavanam mahatmanam patanti pitrubhi sardham maharaurava samnite. In fact, first he says, what will happen if one performs Vaishnava aparad, does a Vaishnava aparad. Then, patanti pitrubhi sardham, including half of your ancestors. Which half he doesn't say. But half of your ancestors and you will go to Maharaurava. So in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, Maharaurava, 28 hells are mentioned. In 5th canto, this hell called Maharaurava is mentioned. And who goes to Maharaurava? Kevalam Deham Bharaha, the verse says. Actually, it's a prose text in the 5th canto. It says, Kevalam Deham Bharaha, one who is only satisfying his own body. That person goes to Maharaurava. So the meat eaters, for example, those who have killed other living entities just to satisfy their body, also go to Maharaurava. It is the same place that a Vaishnava Aparadhi goes. But he doesn't go along alone. He goes along with half of his ancestors. Same place. So somebody might say, oh, stop meat eating because you go to hell. But if you are a Vaishnava Aparadhi and we can go together, you should add. You know, if you are a Vaishnava Aparadhi, we go together. So Vaishnava Aparadhi goes to the same hell. But what are the six categories? Then it says, this is from Skanda Purana. Sanatana Goswami has outlined in Bahari Bhakti Vilas. Hanti nindati vaidveshti. If you kill a Vaishnava, hanti. Nindati, if you criticize a Vaishnava, it is as good as killing a Vaishnava. So the words are adjacent to each other. Hanti nindati vaidveshti. If you are envious of a Vaishnava, Vaishnava nabhinandati. If you are not happy seeing a Vaishnava, krudyate yati no harsham. Krudyate, if you become angry at a Vaishnava, yati no harsham. When you see the Vaishnava, you don't feel pleased about it. Darshane patanani shat. These six are the cause of fall down of one on the path of devotional service. So one might say, so what happened to Gopal Chapal? Do we have any details? And I was wondering if there was any details in Vaishnava Digdarshini. Vaishnava Digdarshini, it is mentioned that this episode of Gopal Chapal happened in 1506 AD. That's 512 years ago. And it mentions after Gopal Chapal tried to tell this, you know, or tried to put that Bhavani remnants in front of the house of Srivas Thakur and tried to malign Srivas Thakur's fame. He contracted leprosy in 3 days. Chaitanya Charitamrita says 3 days. He got leprosy. And in fact, his body was infested with worms. And then he does not immediately get Uddhar. He does not immediately get redeemed. He thinks that I should go and pray to my beloved Lord Shiva. So he goes to Kashi, Varanasi, and he worships Kashi Vishwanath. Kashi Vishwanath is the main linga in Varanasi. And Kashi Vishwanath gives him guidance to go back to Kulia and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the episode where he surrenders to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu then says, you cannot get redeemed by surrendering unto me. You have to take the dust of the devotees. The devotee that has been offended, you have to take his dust, and only then you will be redeemed. So one might wonder, what was it that brought about this change of heart of Gopala Chapal? How was it that Gopala Chapal was ultimately able to redeem himself and take shelter of Mahaprabhu? What is the answer? Prabhupada tells us why or how he was able to redeem himself. Prabhupada says in the purport of text 49, it appears that Gopala Chapal was sinful, talkative and insulting. He nevertheless had the qualification of simplicity. He had simplicity in his heart, and hence he was able to surrender. And in fact, Murari Gupta in his Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya gives another reason. He says that Srivas Thakur had asked for a boon from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, this is the greatness of a Vaishnava. Like we see, Jesus Christ, Prabhupada said, was a great Vaishnava. And he said when he was crucified, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Similarly, We have Srivas Thakur. This is such a beautiful verse. It says, Saprahayo Pradhame Karoti Hi Samasataha. Srivas Thakur told Mahaprabhu, please give me this one boon. No matter what degree of aprad somebody may commit against me, Uddharakurutam Deva Varam Etat Sada Mama. Please give me this boon forever, forever and ever. That in my presence, after my presence, you know, after I'm gone, if anyone ever offends me, you will personally deliver that person. This is my request. This is the boon Srivas Thakur asked. So Murari Gupta says, because of this boon, Mahaprabhu was compelled to show the path to Gopal Chapel so that he can be relieved. And Vaishnavas are very magnanimous. So one might wonder if Vaishnavas, since Vaishnavas are so magnanimous, why is it that they take offense in the first place? Vaishnava aparad should not, nobody should incur Vaishnava aparad, because if I offend a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava is so magnanimous, he is not going to take the offense. So then I should not get any reaction of that offense, right? So why is it that I get a reaction of the offense? This is answered by Jiva Goswami in his Shat Sandarbhas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries, Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, everywhere. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, yes, Krishna takes offense. Okay. And actually, there is a verse in Bhagavatam which answers this question. Do you follow the question? Vaishnavas are so magnanimous that there should be, you know, they don't accept any offense, right? So then, if the offense hasn't been accepted, then I haven't really offended, and hence I should not get the reaction. So Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, is telling Daksha, who offended her husband, in 4th canto, 4th chapter, verse 13 of Bhagavatam. She says, Nascharyam, I'm not surprised that a foolish person like you, Mahadvinanda, you are doing Mahadvinanda, you are committing offense towards a great personality. In fact, Daksha was saying so many words. He in fact said that, you Shiva, you are Markata Nayana. You have eyes like a monkey. And I have married my daughter whose Shavakshi, whose eyes are like a little beautiful doe, a female deer. What is the comparison between a female, beautiful female deer like eyes of my daughter with your eyes like a monkey? So many words of abuse, Daksha said. And Sati said, Nascharyam, I'm not surprised with your Mahadvininda. Why? Because, say Arshyam, because you have committed this out of your envy for Lord Shiva. And for this envy, Lord Shiva will not be affected. However, now listen carefully. She says, Mahapurusha Padapam Shubhi, the dust of the lotus feet of the great personality, the dust. Nirastatejasu tadeva shobhanam. He takes the offense. The dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava takes offense. I am serving my master. This Vaishnava is my master. I'm serving him or her. And here comes this person who is offending my master. The dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava takes offense. And as a result, the dust is unwilling to redeem that person. This is the explanation given by the Acharyas. Sridhar Swami says very nicely, he says, Yadyapi, from his commentary to this verse, Yadyapi Mahapurushaha Swanindan Sahante. Although Mahapurushas, they accept their Ninda, they are happy with their Ninda. You know, if somebody comes and tells us, oh, I have heard that you are very, very egoistic, And I've observed as well that you're very egoistic. And, you know, the way you behave is not appropriate. The Acharyas say the natural way to respond when somebody does ninda to us is two things. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says two things should happen. One should reflect. If this person is saying this to me, there must be some truth in it. What is the natural instinct? No. I am perfect. There is no fault in me. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says the first thing one should do is reflect. There must be truth. If he's saying I'm egoistic, I must have ego. And indeed, I do have ego. One should reflect. And secondly, one should acknowledge and thank that person for the ninda. So, Sridhar Swami says, Yadyapi Mahapurusha Swanindam Sahante, even though great personality will accept ninda, Tathapi Tad Padarenavaha, the dust of the lotus feet of that Vaishnava, Tad Ahasamanaha, Tesham Tejo Nirasyanti, and hence the opulence of the other person, all his bhakti is destroyed. Ataha sakteshu mahannindam eva uchitam iti arthaha. That is why those who are incapable fools, they engage in constant ninda. Now one might wonder, well, criticism, is ninda not allowed? If Vaishnava ninda is not allowed, then we see in the classes, we see in so many instances, ninda is allowed or ninda is performed. So, tell me, are there any areas or any positions in which criticizing and correcting is allowed? Yes or no? Or should nobody criticize or correct? What do you think? Guru, disciple, yes, very good. What else? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are four positions in which criticism and correction is allowed. One is guru. Another is a parent. A parent has to criticize and correct the child. You cannot let the child be unruly and, oh, you are a Vaishnava, I cannot criticize. A guru will criticize and correct. The third is a preacher. A preacher will criticize and correct. And the fourth is an authority. The authority like the GBC, the temple president, the temple management council, so many authorities are there. They have, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's authorized. They can. Although in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, this is interesting, although in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, it is said, and there is evidence given from Vishnu Purana. There is a verse in Vishnu Purana which says, those who have committed many, many Vaishnava Aparads, but have remained sincere at heart, they are reborn and they are given Bhattadhikari. Ramanujacharya, actually it is Veer Raghavacharya who says, Bhattadhikari, he becomes temple commander. Vaishnava Aparadi, after many, many Aparad, next birth, temple president, temple commander, GBC, service area in charge, kitchen in charge, driving in charge, drama in charge. Why? Because they have committed so many aparads. Purification. Actually, one may think by getting all these positions, it's a nice thing. But only one who is in that position will tell you it's a suffering. It's constant suffering. That is why in one place, in the Quran, it says that the best position that a devotee of Allah should have is that he should be a nobody. If he becomes a somebody, finished. Anyway, so Guru and parent should, they can criticize and chastise. Preacher can do that. Examples of preacher doing that from Bhagavatam? Many examples. For example, the whole Bhagavatam is a book which is spoken between different personalities. Now we see that, for example, Shukdev Goswami is condemning all the materialists in general, criticizing materialist. Second canto, first chapter, he's criticizing materialist. So he's criticizing. This criticism is allowed. We see Maitreya in the fourth canto. Maitreya is criticizing Maharaj Vena. He's saying how horrible Vena was. Maitreya is criticizing specifically Vena. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives these examples. He says, criticism allowed for a preacher. These are the examples. We see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami criticizes so many. Criticizes in the sense, why does a preacher criticize? A preacher criticizes not out of envy, but out of citing an example. If a preacher criticizes out of envy, he is finished. Or she is finished. But a preacher criticizes out of citing an example. So for example, what is the greatest example of Vaishnava Aparadha cited in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Who was the greatest Vaishnava Aparadhi in Mahaprabhu's eyes? Sachi Mata. Yeah, he cites example of his own mother. He says, Sachi Mata, when the older brother was taken away by Advaita Acharya's instigation, so-called, and he took sannyas, Sachi Mata thought, now again Advaita has come to take away my second son also. And this Mahaprabhu said was great Vaishnava Aparadha. Sachi Mata was a Vaishnava Aparadhi. Of course, this is just to cite an example. Imagine we extend that and we treat Sachi Mata, Mother Yashoda, as Aparadhi. We'll be finished. Right? So, these examples have value within a context for a particular purpose, but not to be extended beyond. And authority. Bhagavatam examples, authority giving advice, Bhishma Dev giving advice in the first canto to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to Bhishma Dev lying on the bed of arrows, asking questions. Bhishma Dev giving advice, authority gives advice. Authority chastising, example. Fifth canto Bhagavatam, Yamraj chastising, he's in authority. Authority means Mahajan. Prabhupada says authority means Mahajan. However, the question then arises, can authority, can guru, can parents, can preacher chastise, criticize completely uninhibited? Yes or no? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, yeah, it is allowed. Can they or can they not? What do you think? Has to be supported by tattva. What else? Yes, very good. They cannot criticize Vaishnava? No, but they are dealing with Vaishnava all the time. Authorities are dealing, the temple management is dealing with the Vaishnavas. Can they not correct them, criticize them? Can they or can they not? They can, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, but to what degree can they? Can they just left, right and center be critical? Oh, I'm the authority. I'm the service authority of this service. So everyone else sit in one corner and listen to me. Can they do that? The answer is no. Even if you are a parent, the example is cited, just like Hiranyakashipu was a parent of Prahlad. But that did not give him authority to criticize Prahlad left, right and center. Example of a preacher, Devanand Pandit was a great speaker of Bhagavatam. But when he criticized Srivas Thakur, he was doomed. Preacher also. one has to remain in maryada, and one has to understand that when a great position is there. So the third example of a guru, Shukracharya. Shukracharya criticized Bali Maharaj, and in Vishnu Puran it is said, Bali Maharaj said, yes, I take a vow, Vamana, to Vamana. He said, I take a vow. So you take a vow by taking water, 3 drops of water from your water pot, chant Om, and then put the water. That is taking a vow. So it is said in Vishnu Puran, Shukracharya minimized his form and he entered the water pot and he blocked the nozzle of the pot because he didn't want Bali to get the water and take the vow. So when Guru inhibited bhakti of his disciple, what happened? Bali Maharaj thought, what is this? Something blocking. So he took a twig, a grass, and he poked just to get rid of the dirt. And when he poked, the left eye of Shukracharya got hurt and he became blind in one eye. So Shukracharya he squinted. Yeah. So Guru also, if he is inhibiting bhakti, so the mapadanda, the measuring rod is, if any of these 4 categories are inhibiting the bhakti by criticizing, then they have no right to criticize. The authority, we see, Prabhupada gives this example, very nice example. He says the example of Vidura. Vidura was previously Yamaraj, one authority, greatest authority, right? One of the Mahajans. And Yamaraj had to come back as Vidura. Why? Because of his mistreating of Mandhata. Mandhata was a rishi who he thought had committed offense of stealing, although he did not really commit the offense. The thieves came and sat in his ashram. And as a result, Yamaraj gave him the punishment of Shulapani, which is making them pierce through a shula, which is a rod, a sharp rod. And because of that, Mandhat cursed Yamaraj, you go and be born from the womb of a Shudra. You become a Shudra because this is your mentality. He was a Mahajan. He had to come. So in one class, and I'll read this out. Srimad Bhagavatam class, first canto, 13th chapter, verse 15, on June 4th, 1974 in Geneva, Switzerland. Srila Prabhupada was giving class and he says this, listen carefully, very nice. For us, who is the highest managing authority within ISKCON? It's the GBC. And Prabhupada is saying this. We have created these GBCs, so they should be very responsible men. Otherwise, they will be punished. They will be punished to become a Shudra. Although Yamaraj is a GBC, but he made a little mistake. He was punished to become a Shudra. So those who are GBC, they should be very, very careful. Prabhupada said very twice, very, very careful to administer the business of ISKCON. Otherwise they will be punished. As the post is very great, similarly the punishment is also very great. That is the difficulty, Prabhupada is saying. You can see from this example, Vidura, he was immediately punished. So nobody is escaped. What if somebody is on a bhava platform? Somebody has bhava. He's really attained bhava, which is the entrance into prema, the realm of prema. Prabhupada in Bhaktisiddhanta Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, explains bhava is like raw mango. And prema is like a ripe mango. But both are mango. So you've reached bhava. In the same Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Purva Vibhag, Eastern Ocean, in the Bhava section, the 4th section, verse number 54, Rupa Goswami says, this is amazing, this is so penetrating. Rupa Goswami says, Bhavopi abhavam ayati, Krishna preshta paradataha, even if one is on the bhava platform, he will get abhava if he performs Krishna Preshta Aparad, if he becomes apradhi of one who is dear to Krishna. Abhasatam cha shanakai nyuna jatiyatamapi. And if he does not lose his bhava platform, at least he will become lesser. If he is already beyond bhava, let's say if he is on prema, he's already got prema. And let's say he has Madhurya Bhav. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary says, from Madhurya Bhav, he will be straight into Dasya Rati. Madhurya Rati will change into Dasya Rati if you do aparad. And he gives example. There was a gorilla called Dvivida in Ramchandra's pastime. And this gorilla was very, very strong. He was best mate of the bear. What's the name of the bear? Jambavan. He was the best friend of Jambavan. And this Dvivada gorilla was assisting with the transfer of the stones to make the bridge across the ocean to Lanka. And at that time, Dvivada, he could lift the biggest rocks. He was so strong. And when Lakshman came in front of him, and Lakshman was taking ordinary rocks and he was putting them, Dvivada said, "Ha! Is that all you can lift? Look at my strength. I can lift big rocks." Just that one comment made him lose his service to Ramachandra. Because of that, he became a friend of Narakasur, and then he was killed by the original tattva of Lakshmana, which is Balramji in Krishna Leela. Balram kills Dvivida gorilla and he loses his bhava. So even Dasyarati, he lost and he became a demon. So one has to be very careful. So then what about Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is certainly, there is no way that Lord Shiva can fall down, or can he, by Vaishnava Prad. We see in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, when Jadu Bharat is criticized by Rahugana, King Rahugana, at the end of the criticism, when Jadu Bharat tells about his real identity by saying that, "I am not this body, I am the soul. Who are you addressing, king?" Rahugana comes to his senses and he says, "I'm sorry, I apologize. You cannot be an ordinary man. You must be a great personality. Please forgive me." But his words are so powerful. He says, "Mahad vimanat swakritadhi madrish." A person like me, if he commits, Rahugana says, a person like me, if he commits Vaishnava aparad, Nangshyati adurat, immediately he will be finished. Api shulapani, even if he is shulapani. Shulapani means, pani means hand, and shula means trishula, one who holds trishula, Lord Shiva. Even if it is Lord Shiva, he will at once be finished if he commits Vaishnava aparad. So I thought of so many things to speak. Anyway, we'll skip a few things. At one place, Jiva Goswami, when he's commenting in Krama Sandarbha, so you know, is aparad only when we actively commit aparad? As in, "I dislike you," or "I'm envious of you because you're better than me." Is that the only aparad? Or are there other categories of aparad that perhaps many of us continuously commit, even unknowingly? Sorry? Violent behavior definitely is aparad. But Jiva Goswami in his commentary says, 10th canto, 4th chapter, verse 46, there is a beautiful verse of One loses one's spiritual potency if one commits apradh. But even material potencies are lost. Because it says, Ayuhu, your life will be diminished. Shriyam, your opulences will be lost. Yashaha, your fame will be lost. Dharmam, everything that you have committed in the path of dharma will be lost. Lokan, if you were to go to higher planetary system, that will be lost. Ashishaha, and any blessings that you have received will be lost. Evacha, hanti shreyamsi sarvani pumso mahad atikramaha. Mahad atikramaha. By performing Vaishnava Prad, these six are lost. And in the commentary, now listen carefully. In the commentary, Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha says, yes, these are lost by atikrama, but what is atikrama? What is aparad? Vaishnava aparad? Atikramo vachasa api, he says. Vachasa api atikramaha. Even not following the instruction of a Vaishnava is atikrama, is Vaishnava aparad. Srila Prabhupada has given so many instructions in his books. If one does not sincerely and seriously try to follow those instructions, that also constitutes Vaishnava aparad. So by us not being sincere and serious in our process of devotional service and following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, that is also aparad, Jiva Goswami says. When I read this, it was really like a thunderbolt. Okay, many other things are there, but like for example, is Vaishnava aparad only committed towards pure devotees? Or any devotee? How do you know? And is Vaishnava aparad retrospective? These are the, you know, these are interesting questions. So is Vaishnava aparad only an aparad if it is committed towards a pure devotee? Or what if I commit Vaishnava aparad towards somebody who is giving charanamrit in the morning? And I think, you know, he's just a new bhakta. He's just joined the Brahmachari Ashram. I can correct him. I can say whatever I want to him. Will that be Vaishnava aparad? Yes or no? Yes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Harinam Chintamani, fourth chapter, he says that Mahaprabhu has said in Madhya Leela 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. Now if we say that a Vaishnava is he or she who has those 26 qualities, it will be first very hard to have those qualities in one's own self. So it's near impossible. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a wonderful point. Of the 26 qualities, starting from Kripalu to Mauni, 26. In the middle, there is a quality called Krishnaika Sharanam, which means, of the 26 quality, one quality of a Vaishnava is that somehow or the other he has taken shelter of Krishna. This person has somehow or the other taken shelter of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is the Swarupa Lakshana of a Vaishnava. That is the primary quality of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is he or she who has somehow or the other taken shelter of Krishna. But hang on, what if he is still smoking? What if he still drinks? What if he is doing nonsense outside? And he comes and he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the other 25 qualities, it's just a matter of time. As long as he remains in the shelter of Krishna, it's a matter of time. These 26, the other 25 qualities will develop. And hence, in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a verse from Vishnu Puran, which says, even if he's a womanizer, he's a drunkard, he's a, you know, he's the most abominable, he's, very rash in his behavior, as long as he is taken shelter of Krishna. Isn't it so wonderful? This person has taken shelter of Krishna. He says, no, I only worship Krishna. I only want bhakti. And I'm working on that. But while doing that, he's still smoking. He should still be respected in his own position as a Vaishnava. He should still not be offended. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's position is, anyone who has a Swarupa Lakshana of a Vaishnava should not be offended. Now then the question is, what if somebody who does not currently have the Swarupa Lakshana of a Vaishnava, so-called materialistic person, can we offend them or can we speak badly about them? So the answer is, we should not, because we never know who they are. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, some people think that those who have a brahmachari dress or a saffron dress, and he specifically talks about grihastha ashram because he was a grihastha himself. He says, they think that if you are a brahmachari or a grihastha, you are a pure devotee, you are a sannyasi. Sorry, you are a pure devotee, but the pure devotee is neither a brahmachari nor a grihastha nor a vanaprasthi nor a sannyasi. It's not a dress. You cannot know a pure devotee. You cannot know who is going to be a pure devotee in the future, and hence one should not offend. There is a verse, 4th canto, chapter 9, verse 23, in which the Lord Vishnu is telling Dhruva that your stepmother Suruchi, she will burn in the forest fire. And the reason she will burn in the forest fire is because she committed offense to you when you were a little child, when you were in the palace. So, an offense committed to Dhruva when he was not a devotee, so-called, quote-unquote, that offense had fructified for Suruchi when he became a devotee. Are you following? In the past, when she criticized Dhruva and said, you can't sit on the lap of your father, at that time Dhruva was not a pure devotee. But when he became pure devotee, Lord Vishnu says, because now you are a pure devotee, she gets her reaction. We never know who is going to become a pure devotee. But then is Krishna unfair if he's doing this? Yes? Is he unfair if he's doing this? So, Jiva Goswami, in his Krama Sandarbha Tika commentary, he answers this question. No, he says, the Lord is not being unfair. Why? He says, Purvam api nigudha bhakti samskarena mad bhaktasyaiva tavadveshat tayor evam syat. Purvam api nigudha bhakti samskarena. When Suruchi offended Dhruva, although seemingly Dhruva was not a devotee, but he already had the secret bhakti samskaras. Secretly he had the samskara of bhakti, the impressions of bhakti he already had. And then we see from Vishnu Purana that Dhruva in his previous life was a great tapasvi, he was a yogi. And he performed tapasya. While performing tapasya and worshipping Lord Vishnu, meditating on Lord Vishnu, he once saw an entourage of a prince passing with all his soldiers. And looking at the lavish prince, he just had a thought. Wow, he's so wonderful. You know, I wish I could be a prince. But he was already performing bhakti. And when he died, he became Dhruva Maharaj. So, his bhakti samskar was already there from previous life. So, when Suruchi offended him, he already had the samskara of bhakti, previous impressions of bhakti. And so the Lord is correct in giving the reaction of the offense to Suruchi. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Yeah. One can get pure devotional service as long as one does not commit any aparad. And as evidence, again in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, there was a man who was habituated to visit prostitutes. And there was a particular prostitute he really liked. And he was willing to wait till this prostitute becomes available for him. He was willing to go to the place and wait till she becomes available for him to enjoy. And on this particular day, he waited for this lady to be free. She was busy with another customer. He waited for her to be free, and in anxiety and anger, he waited intently without drinking, without eating for the entire day while she was busy. And that day happened to be Narsingha Chaturdashi. And because of this person, he was a womanizer, he's a prostitute hunter. Because this person performed this without any, but the qualification was this person did not commit any Vaishnava aparad. He had so many faults, anarthas, but no Vaishnava aparad. This person, he fasted on Narsingha Chaturdashi, and as a result of that, in his next birth, he became Prahlad Maharaj. So, when you, Jiva Goswami is saying this in Bhakti Sandarbha. So, but one who commits Vaishnava aparad, for him everything is doomed. We like to see so many faults. I think a few other things are there, but we like to see so many faults. But the biggest fault that Srila Prabhupada says we should see, and Krishna says we should see in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is anyone? We all like to see faults, and we must see faults, but the faults, the dosha, the fault that we all should see is janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Krishna's instructing dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Again and again, repeatedly, keep finding fault. You like to find fault? Keep finding fault. You see, this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. You apply it, apply our propensities to the right direction. One person was there, he took initiation from Prabhupada, and he loved arguing. For no reason he would argue. At a drop of a hat he would argue. And everyone was worried. The temple president was really finding him a headache. He wrote to Prabhupada and said, how do I deal with this man? He just argues, just likes to argue. Srila Prabhupada said, wow, he has a wonderful quality. Send him to Varanasi to argue with the Mayavadis. Use his propensity to argue. We all have propensity to find faults. And Krishna has told us what to do with that propensity. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Srila Prabhupada also always reminded, birth, death, old age and disease. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi. Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshanam. And in the commentary, Shankaracharya also says that a sane man, an intelligent man, is one who constantly finds fault, but not in others. Faults in these four things in one's own life. Okay, there are many other things. And anyone has any questions? We'll take two or three questions. Or maybe two questions. Thank you very much.